Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. We're going to start reading in verse 14, and I want you to follow with me. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial or Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. If you'll look at me and keep your Bibles open, we are going to use them a lot. Amen? Tonight, we are going to begin a new series. It's going to be a lengthy series. You say, how long? I don't know. Last check, we were up to about 15, 20 weeks. Could be a little longer, amen? Depends how long-winded I get. I thought this would be one. As I'm sitting on the platform, I'm thinking, okay, that's 2 weeks. There's 7 pages of notes. We're not going to get through this tonight. So it may be the most helpful topic, the most needed topic that I could teach our church to you personally into our area outside of the topic of salvation. And it's probably, Brother Buck, the most misunderstood topic. And I'm going to mention it here in a moment, but God does not save us and take us off the earth. Have you ever noticed that? In other words, we are here in the world, but God does not want us like the world. We would call it the doctrine of separation. Now, I say that to say this. He does not want us to be of the world, but he wants us to be in the world. There is a big difference. Most every Christian in the room, when I say the word separation, here's what you think of. No smoking, no drinking, no women wearing breeches, and no immorality. That's about your extent of separation. I don't mean that critically, but I'll promise you, if I took a poll, that those were the first 3 or 4 things you thought of. That's not what God thinks of. It's not. You see, that is such a small part of separation. And by the way, those are results of separation. Those aren't separation. Do you know there's lost people that don't smoke? Do you know there's lost people that don't drink alcohol? Do you know that there's lost women that don't wear pants? You know that there's lost men that don't wear dresses? Glory to God. And if we have any saved ones, we'll fix that in a hurry. Separation is really not for you. Now, if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you. Separation is for God. Separation is for others, both lost and saved. You see, I am not going to beat anybody into submission. I am not going to I'm not going to be beating people over the head. We are not going to be mean-spirited. I believe ladies ought to dress like ladies. I believe men ought to dress like men. I believe a man ought to wear his hair like a man and not wear jewelry like a woman. I think a lady ought to be clean, neat, and dressed like a lady. But if we have some biker woman come in the door, she's just as welcome. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, now listen to me very carefully. We're going to take the Bible, and I think you're going to be amazed at what God has to say about separation. We're going to start all the way in the beginning. I want you to notice that God says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And he goes through this list before them. What does light have to do with darkness? What does God have to do with Belial or the devil? What concord does he have? And all those different analogies that God uses there, we're going to start all the way in the beginning. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You thought we were going to Genesis, right? We'll head back there. Just hang on. Some of you had the front of your Bible opened and I confused you. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read three verses here, and then we're going to go to another verse in the book of Revelation. Ephesians 1, you ready? Let's start reading in verse number 3. Blessed, by the way, look at me for a second. Who wrote the Bible, man or God? So are these man's words or God's words? Okay, so this isn't Ephesians was penned by Paul. These aren't Paul's words. These are God's words, right? Okay, blessed, verse 3, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, watch this, before the foundation of the world. Did you catch that? In other words, before he made the world, God chose these things, right? Okay, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now look at me. In the Scofield Bible, and Mr. John Calvin is wrong in his doctrine of predestination. Mr. Calvin, Mr. Scofield teach that God chose some people to be saved, some people not to be saved. Doesn't matter whether you want to get saved unless God predestined you to be saved, you couldn't be saved. And if you didn't get saved and God wanted you to be saved, you're saved. That's a lie out of hell. That is the false teaching of predestination, just so you know. Okay, those notes are wrong, and those people are wrong in that area. God predestined us, which means before God created man, he made us with a free will. The plan of salvation was put in place by Jesus before man was created in case man decided to sin. So God predestined what our penalty would be and also our salvation would be so that we could bring praise to him through Jesus Christ. Now, go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. It'd help if I get in the right chapter. There we are. All right, the last verse. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Now, who's that talking to? God. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now, watch this. For thou hast created all things. Now, watch this. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now look at me. Do you know why God created man? So that we could give him pleasure. That's what Revelation 4:11 says. It says he created all things and they are and were created for his pleasure. Do you know that your music should not please you? It should please God. Do you know that your entertainments should not please you? They should please God. Do you know that your speech should not please you? It should please God. See, God made you to bring pleasure to him. We live our life so selfishly, we live it for us. Now, the whole purpose of man is to receive praise and pleasure from man to God. That's why God created man. By the way, he did that after the fall of the angels through Lucifer in heaven because there was sin there. He said, I'm going to remake a sinless group of people. And with that, in case they ever do what the devil did, I'll make a way for them to get back to me because I'm not going through this again. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's why he gave us the plan of salvation. Now, watch this. The world scoffs at separation. Lost people scoff at separation. Okay? Have you ever noticed, ladies, if you dress out in the world like a Christian and they look at you kind of like you stepped off of Mars, hello, or you get this, Do you always wear a dress? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You say, why? And the world doesn't understand it. And then they say, you're weird. Can I tell you why? I'll show you why. The world scoffs at separation due to what I call the evolution mentality. Now, if you'll stay with me, Charles Darwin, back in the 1840s, 1850s, and 1860s, devised his false religion of evolution. And by the way, it was devised to go against Christianity. That is exactly what he did. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Bush? Anybody ever see a picture of women back in the 1800s? You never see one with a pair of breeches on. Now watch this. They deny that there is a creator. The evolutionists deny there's a creator, right? Everything just went big bang. We had this big bang in the universe billions and billions and billions of years ago. We don't know where all that stuff came from that blew up, but it blew up. And in the process of blowing up, it made all the stars, it made all the moons, it made all the planets. And one out of billions and billions and billions and billions of particles of explosion hit the right speed, hit the right circumventure around a star, hit the right spinning on the right axis, hit the right tilt, and after millions and millions of years turned into what we now know as the Earth. Then, somehow, astronomically speaking, in the heating and the cooling of all this stuff, there was a single-celled organism that popped out. We don't know where from, but it was there. And it got lonely, so it divided itself. And those got lonely, and they divided themselves. Then they started having others divide and divide and divide and divide. Then they decided to come back together, and they formed an amoeba. Well, that amoeba got lonely, and it made another amoeba. And all of a sudden, that amoeba got tired of swimming around, so it grew legs and jumped on the land, got rid of its tail, started climbing trees, and now it's a scientist. That is the theory of evolution. All in an effort to deny that there is a God. Now watch this. Why do they want to deny that there is a God? Because man wants to be his own God. And if man can be his own God, he has no need of separation from the world because he doesn't need to bring glory and praise and honor to the creator of the universe. The doctrine of evolution started creeping into the public school system in the United States of America in the 1920s. FDR in the late 1920s and early 1930s pushed it and changed the textbooks in America by 1940 to include it. I know, I just hit somebody's hero. FDR was a communist, just so you know. Take FDR's New Deal, compare it to the Communist Manifesto, and have a heart attack. 8 out of the 10 points of the New Deal are word for word out of the Communist Manifesto. 3 times it was thrown out of the Supreme Court as being unconstitutional. Just so you know. Okay? Now that I made everybody mad at me, here we go. God created man for himself. And the world scoffs at separation because they don't believe there's a God. Why do you need to separate if there's no God? You need to praise yourself. That's why everybody dresses, or I should say undresses, say, look at me, instead of look at God. Let me show you what I mean. God created you for himself. Turn to Psalm 150. You're going to use your Bibles tonight. Just hang in there. Some of you that don't know where these passages are, if you'll go to the book of Index, it will help you. Or some of you need to turn your Bible sideways so that you can read those little inserts on the side of your Bible. Amen. Psalm 150, watch this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Guess what? I didn't see one time in there where God says, I would recommend that you do this. I would ask that you do this. Every one of those was a command. Just like, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not have any false gods before me. He said, praise ye the Lord. Everything that hath breath, let him praise the Lord. Guess what? Man was created to praise God. Guess what? We're supposed to praise God. Say, what's praising God? Man, that means you get excited when God did something for you. That's called praising God. We are supposed to adore and love God. We're supposed to magnify God. Turn back to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, look at verse number... Let's just read verse 1 through 4 here real quick. You ready? Or 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Guess what? We are supposed to magnify God. We're supposed to lift him up. We're supposed to talk about how great he is. That's why John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. We are supposed to talk about how great God is. Do you know why people want to talk down God? Because the closer you get to him, the more you see your sin. The best Christian in the room doesn't know they're the best Christian in the room. Say, how do you know that? Because the closer to God you get, the more you see your sinful flesh and the sinful life as it really is. The closer I get to God, sometimes the farther I feel from him. You say, well, I got saved and I've started reading my Bible. I started doing some things and boy, I feel like a cruddier Christian than when I first got saved. Good. That means you're starting to see yourself as you really are. That's a good sign. You're growing. We say, oh, I must be going back. No, you're getting closer to God. You're seeing yourself in the true light. And that's what God says. He said we're supposed to magnify him. We won't take time to turn there, but Luke 1:46, Mary says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Okay, that's the Mother Mary that the Catholics say that is above Jesus that you pray through. Because since that is the mother of God, nobody can get closer to Jesus than a mama. Gag. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and I will rejoice in God my Savior. Mary herself said, we must magnify the Lord. All right? Turn to 1 John chapter 3, all the way in the back of the Bible, right before Revelation. 1 John chapter 3. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. I knew there was a 3 in there somewhere. Folks, my mind is going 3,000 miles an hour right now. I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard from of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not know the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Folks, God says if you're walking in the light, you will have good fellowship with him and good fellowship with one another. But if you say you're walking in the light, but you're walking in darkness, you're not going to fellowship well with people. Mean-spiritedness criticism, gossip, negative, evil is not good Christianity. Has no place in church. Has no place amongst Christians. Guess what? We're all sinners. Well, golly. That's a real revelation from God. Folks, we're all sinners. But guess what? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, it's been cleansed. It's forgiven. It's past. It's gone. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Guess what? Because of that, we have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with one another. Now watch this. We're supposed to love him. Turn to John chapter 3. I got to give this. I'm sorry, but I just can't hold it any longer. John chapter 3. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Did you catch that? But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Guess what? Light does not live with darkness. And darkness cannot withstand the light. This building's creepy when it's dark outside, trust me. You ought to walk into, where's Brother Brett? He walked in last night. The lights were off. It's starting to get dark. He thought, well, I only have to put something down over here. I can just walk in the dark, walk back. He got about halfway there and realized, okay, this thing's really dark in here. Now, he says he's not afraid of the dark, but that's not what it sounded like. This place can get, in this building, it makes weird noises at night. I mean, the metal roof and everything else, it's popping and creaking, and it can get a little unnerving in here at nighttime if the lights are out. I don't worry about it. You say, why? Because I got my flashlight on my phone. I don't worry. I really don't. But it can get pretty spooky in here. Brother Lopez was cleaning in here late one night. He said, Brother Bush, that building's creepy at night. He said, I've been in a lot of buildings all night long, but that one's creepy. I said, yeah, it's okay, Brother Joe. The boogeyman didn't get you this time. Guess what? We are supposed to love God. Can I tell you why we can love God? Because he loved us first. He gave us his love. When you get saved, you have the ability to love God back. Lost man cannot love God. Lost man cannot fellowship with God. And God needs us to receive his love so that we can love him back and fellowship back with him. Now watch this. I got to go on. Next, sin destroyed the fellowship between God and man. Sin destroyed the fellowship between God and man. Now turn to the book of Genesis. See, you all thought I was starting at the beginning of your Bible. I wasn't. Now we go to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse number 8. Let's skip back to verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from, I want you to notice that word, from the presence of the Lord in the midst of the, from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now look at me. The Bible records before this that every day God came down, walked in the garden with man in the Garden of Eden. I personally, you can disagree with me, personally believe that was Jesus Christ. I personally believe that. Because my Bible says, no man has seen God the Father at any time. But Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus came down every day walking in the garden, and guess what? One day after Eve sinned and after Adam sinned, God came down. Why did they cover themselves? They were not ashamed of each other as much as they were. They knew they had to face God. They knew when he was going to be there. They knew they were going to talk to him. They sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves, and they hid. By the way, when a person is in hiding, usually it's because of sin. Usually it's because of wrongdoing. Now watch this. Man hid from God. Why? Sin. God said, Adam, why are you hiding? Well, we don't look like we did before. He said, who told you that? Did you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil like I told you not to? Not me. It was the woman you gave me. It was her fault. She gave it to me. Not only did he blame her, but he blamed God. Sound familiar? It's her fault, and it's her fault because you gave her to me. God, it's all your fault. You made me this way. Sin caused us to blame God for our sin. Now watch this. Turn back to 2 Corinthians 6, where we started tonight. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? God says, look, when you get saved, get away from unrighteousness. By the way, unrighteousness can also mean save people that are living unrighteous lives. It doesn't just mean saved and lost. Okay? He says, get away from the devilish things. Those that don't believe, infidels, separate from them. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? If the Catholic Church would just look at itself and realize how false it is. The idol worship itself breaks the very commandments, even in their own Bible, that is a corrupt Bible. Okay? Now hang in there. Sin broke the heart of God because of the fellowship that was broken between God and man. Can I tell you what broke God's heart? More than anything, sin. The very creation that he created to bring him praise, honor, and glory and fellowship now has been separated. And he said, we got a problem. My heart's broken. But I'll make a way. Because before I made you, Jesus authored and finished the plan of salvation for us. And he said, I have a plan for you. I didn't have it for Lucifer and the angels, but I've got it for you. And he said, as long as you'll get saved, everything will be all right. And we can have that fellowship restored. Here's the problem. A Christian then gets saved. Time to get saved. I'm going to baptize him here in a second. Okay? He gets saved. He's come out of the world to get saved. But then he wants to go live like he did back here. Is he lost? But he's living like he was before he got saved. God says, don't want that. For us to fellowship, you got to come back here. You got to stay here. The more you come back here, the less fellowship there is up there. Have a seat. Now, listen to me very carefully. Pride is so bad because it steals praise, honor, and glory from God and gives it to man. Do you know that we are such proud, prideful rascals? Look at what I did. I'm glad you're doing what you can do. Well, how about God doing it through you? I love it when people come back. Brother Bush, man, we had three people saved last night. Good, I'm happy. But God saved them, not you. Common mistake, new converts, amen? Man, I saved one today, Brother Bush. No, you didn't save them, Jesus did, but God used you, amen? I got to teach them, don't take all the credit. God did it all, not you. Folks, we are so arrogant. We are so proud. We put our desires above God's desires. We put our needs above God's needs. There's nobody in this room that went without food for the last week unless it was on purpose. There's nobody in this room that's homeless right now. There's nobody in this room that doesn't have clothes to put on your body right now. You might not have the ones you want, as much as you want, or the kind you want, but you got some. You may not have had as much food as you wish. Maybe you had more than you wish. It doesn't matter. Guess what? God took care of your needs. If you'll listen very carefully, I think I could help you. God deserves the praise because he is sinless. We are sinful. We deserve nothing. Nothing. Folks, separation is for you to give praise, glory, and fellowship back to God. That's all it is. God knows what's going to keep you from doing those things. God knows. And what may keep me from doing it might not keep you from doing it. So he has to list enough things and he has to show us enough areas in the Word of God to keep us all on the right track. I was talking to Kyle the other day. I said, son, let me tell you something. The devil probably is not going to lure Kyle with alcohol. Grown up in a Christian home his whole life, good kid, soul winner, loves God. Alcohol doesn't tempt him. But I can tell you what would tempt a young man like that. Get around the wrong kind of Christian. Moderate Christianity sounds good on the outside with a hook on the inside. Ooh, that's a little bit more alluring. Moderate doctrine, new fundamental garbage out there. Say why? Because those things are more tempting because alcohol, we've seen what it does. Those of us that grew up in Christian homes, alcohol's stupid. Smoking cigarettes, that doesn't make sense. And chewing tobacco and dipping snuff really doesn't make sense. Try it one time, you're done, amen? Can I tell you something? God deserves the praise, not you. Why is it that we want to put what we want above God? Ladies, this is not all directed at you, just so you know. This is not going to be a 20-week on why if a woman puts a pair of britches on, she's of the devil. I may touch it once or twice in 20 weeks, just so you know. When I do, it'll be very clear to you, and you'll still be welcome here no matter how you live or dress. Because it's not for me, it's for you and God. But why is, okay, men, why is it that, okay, my son's birthday's tomorrow, forget that, okay? But why is it the first thing that generally happens when a boy leaves home or he gets 18, what's the first thing he does? Grows a beard or a mustache? Gotta grow his hair. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some never grow out of it. Some can't grow it on top, so they got to grow it on the bottom, amen? But it doesn't matter. But usually the first thing that a teenage boy does, moment he can, what's he going to do? I'm not going to shave no more. That takes him 6 weeks, and the cat could still lick it off. But say why? Because he wants to prove himself a man. That's his hair. Hey, y'all that grew up in the 70s, y'all know what I'm talking about. Remember the long hair on the guys? It's starting to come back. Look like a mop on top of the head, you know. Looked like they got in a fight with a weed eater and lost. Man, my mom and dad will remember. I'll use the guy's first name. Rick. Rick was, he was a motorcycle, long-haired hippie guy, got saved. I wanted him to drive a bus. But he had to get his hair cut. And I mean, his hair was, it was as long as Hannah's. I mean, middle of his back. Long, grayish white hair. Guy in his probably 40, late 30s. I said, man, if you're going to drive a bus, man, you got to get saved. You got to get your hair cut. He said, really? I said, yeah, you got to get it cut. I came back a week later. He got 2 inches taken off of it. He said, got my hair cut. I said, it's got to go short. He said, shorter? I said, yeah, a lot shorter. Right. About a week or two later, I came. He has hair up to about his shoulders. Now, that was huge improvement, let me tell you. He said, how'd I do? I said, getting closer. Then the all-favorite question. I mean, I got to have my hair cut like yours. Not sure about that. I said, come on, man. I said, how many boys and girls are you going to let die and go to hell because you won't cut your hair? He said, oh, man, don't do that. I remember the day he got his hair cut. He got to the church before the preacher was driving the bus, came in, and the pastor said to our bus director, Brother Tim, who's driving that bus? He said, that's Rick. He said, Rick who? Gave him the last name. He said, no way. He said, oh, yeah, he got his hair cut. He said, I'll say, I didn't even recognize who he was. That was awesome. You know what it took? Somebody just to love him. Our hair becomes our glory, fellas. That's why we're so worried about it, losing it all, amen? Some of you done lost it. It doesn't matter, amen? Shoe polish could only cover so much, amen? Folks, are we going to let a piece of clothing stand between us and our fellowship with God? We're going to let the length of our hair stand between us and God. I'm going to make a statement here that might make some of you mad if I'm successful. Are we going to let some of our friends keep us from fellowship with God? Some of you fellowship with the wrong people and your fellowship with God is destroyed. Well, they're Christians. That's only point number one of many. I know a lot of Christians I won't fellowship with. I have them all over the country. Now listen to me very carefully, and I got to hurry. We got through 2 points. I'm going to start point number three. I'm not sure I'm going to get all the way through it. God is jealous of anything that takes us away from Him. Let me make that statement again. God is jealous of anything that takes us away from Him. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. You all know this passage. This is what everybody in the world wants to hold up as the standard for Christianity. You ready? Here we go. And God, watch this next statement here. And God spake all these words, saying. Now look at me. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai, God spoke those words, as well as wrote those words with his own finger on the tables of stone. He not only wrote it, he says himself in Exodus 20, verse number 1, and God spake all these words. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath that is, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. I, the Lord thy God, am jealous God, visiting the iniquity of thy fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Did you hear that? God said, I am a jealous God. Now, for you and I to be jealous because we're sinful, it's wrong. Guess what? When you're sinless, jealousy, a godly sinless jealousy is good. Just like, fellas, I am jealous for my wife only. I don't want your wife. And if you want my wife, you and I are going to have troubles. Say why? Because I'm jealous of her. She's mine. God says, you're my people and I'm jealous of you. I want you. I don't want you to have any graven image. I don't want you to have any other God. I don't want you to have anything before you and me. And he says, I'm jealous of that because I know what will destroy you. I know what will keep you from me. Turn to Exodus 34. A few chapters over. Exodus 34. Look at verse number 14. Exodus 34, verse 14. For thou shalt worship no other God for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Notice that word jealous is capitalized. He said, that's my name. He said, one of my names is Jealous. Verse 15. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, that is unsaved people, and they go a-whoring after their own gods and do sacrifice unto their gods. And one call thee that thou eat of his sacrifices and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. God says here, look, I am jealous. My name is Jealous. I don't want you running with the inhabitants of the land, those that worship false gods, because you're going to marry, your kids are going to marry their kids, and you're going to lose your kids, and I'm going to lose generations. By the way, listen to me very carefully on this. That's why you got to be careful how you live, because how are your kids going to end up? What you do as an exception, your kids will do as the normal. Do you ever notice that? What you do occasionally becomes a standard for them later. I was thinking of this earlier this week. I would never do this. But I was flipping through, and so, I must have hit a channel there, and they were talking about, oh, this is the Beatles in the 1961 or 62. I couldn't tell you what the name of the song was. I thought, that's the Beatles? The Beatles in the 1960s are less rock and roll than the average Southern gospel group, the Gaither Vocal Band, is today. Can I tell you why? Because what someone did on occasion became the standard for the Christian. Now, what the parents of those who had kids in the 60s said, can't believe these people, the Beatles, they're bad, they're nasty, they're wicked. Their hair's shorter than the average Southern gospel group. You put a picture of the Beatles up today versus the Gaither Vocal Band, and the Beatles look more Christian than the Gaither Vocal Band. Hello. Now I'm going to make somebody mad. The Beatles don't sound as rock and rollish as the Gaither Vocal Band does. Sandy Patty, Larnell Harris, Amy Grant. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, wait a minute. What happened? Remember how bad Elvis was? His hair was shorter than most Baptists. Remember what the parents of the 60s said? The Beatles, look at their nasty hair. They'd pass for the average fundamental Baptist church singing on the platform now. Average, not ours. God says, I'm jealous of you. Turn to one more passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll shut it down for the night. Good night. We've got so long to go. Second Corinthians chapter 11. I want you to follow with me. We're going to start reading in verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now look at me. God says, I wish you could bear with me long enough so that I could present you a pure, chaste virgin to Christ. I love my children. I want them to be pure. I want the young man that by the time my daughter turns 30 that she could marry. I have a rule at my house. Somebody wants to take my daughter out, that's fine. They got to take me out first. And we're going out with the guns, and they're going to find out how well this guy shoots. Then I'm going to tell them what I do to people that don't treat my daughter right and what parts I'm going to start shooting first. You say, you wouldn't do that. Give it a few years, you'll find out. If they're man enough to come through me, they might have a chance. Say why? Because I'm going to present my daughter, a chaste virgin, to the right young man someday so that they can have what her mom and I have. Everybody doing okay? Not because I hate her, but because I love her. I have a jealousy over that. You think I'm going to let some twit date her? Drop dead. I'm not afraid of it. They better be afraid of me. I do know what I can do with a weapon, amen? So you wouldn't do that. You're going to find out. Folks, God wants saved people separated from everything that would keep them from fellowshipping with God and doing his will. God has a plan for your life. And God's perfect design and plan for your life includes fellowship with him. And he wants to take everything away from you. He wants you to stay away from everything that would keep you from doing his will. Can I tell you something? That's a wonderful way to live. That gets rid of, oh, I can't stand that church. Thou shalt not, you got to do this, you can't do that. What kind of fun can you have? Well, the will of God's great. There's no regrets. I can't believe that play. I have never beat anybody over the head for anything. Not one time. Say why? I believe we ought to do it because we love God. And do you realize God is jealous of you? God is jealous for time with you. Separation isn't for you. I say it this way often. Separation isn't a badge that you wear. Look at me. You know, kind of like that cop that gets out of the car and he's with his badge. You're thinking, uh-oh, this is not going to be good. We got a guy with a badge that thinks he's something. You all know what I'm talking about? Or that guy that was your drill instructor or CO in the military, fellas, that was on a power trip because he had a few more bars and stripes and medals on his chest. And you're thinking, I wish he had a chest to hang it on. You all know what I'm talking about? You know, that guy that let the power go to his head because he had something. Separation is not a badge you wear and say, look at me. That's pride and that's wrong. That's not separation. Separation is you taking things away from your life and staying away from things that would cause you to get off of the will of God for your life and out of fellowship with him. Because he's jealous for time with you. Let me ask you a question. When you live most like the world, are you fellowshipping closest with God or not? Just answer it yourself. When you're living for self, how's your walk with God? New converts last Sunday morning. Amen, Brother Williamson. We've been working on them a while to get baptized. One of them said, I got to sin, brother. I got to give it up before I get baptized. I said, oh, no, 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 no. He said, really? I said, no. I said, you need to obey God first with your baptism. Then God's going to help you get rid of the sin. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, let's do it. I said, all right. Man, he had a grin from ear to ear last Sunday. Say why? He finally obeyed God. Finally, that obedience came because God was jealous of it. Can I tell you something? I don't expect by next Sunday to him to conquer that sin yet. I haven't even talked to him since Sunday yet. But I promise you one thing, he's working on it. Say why? He got a good dose of God, how much God loved him. He was willing to get up in a big blue Smurf suit, get dunked under the water in front of everybody and get out, wet as all get out, and say, I just did what God told me to do. Guess what? I think God could help him get over that sin. Say, why? I don't understand it either. I've been preaching it a long time. But I can tell you this, God will bless his obedience. Say, why? Because God wants to peel those things away so he can spend more time with him. And the more you closely walk with him and stay in his will, the more those things fall off. And they just keep getting farther and farther away. Remember what it was like when you first got saved? You had that mountain of things that you wanted to give up. Don't worry about them. Just start getting close to God. They'll fall off. I tell people all the time, I don't have to worry about the wrong crowd. You know, I don't have to separate from the wrong crowd. They separate from me. You make your stand for God enough, the wrong crowd doesn't come around, trust me. They'll criticize you, but they won't come around. They'll talk behind your back, but they won't come around. I love it. I do. Just do the will of God, and I got to quit right there because y'all are tired, and I got 2 more hours worth of stuff right there. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Separation. I hope that you will listen. I hope that you'll give me a hearing. I hope you'll give God a chance. I think if you will, God will change your heart. I won't have to. I won't. God will do it for you. Separation is for you and God, for others.